Welcome to the Classroom to Career Podcast, where you and Brentwood students will learn the careers and experiences of the wonderful people on Long Island.
Hello, everyone. I hope everyone listening is doing well. Welcome back to another episode of the Classroom to Career Podcast. My name is Joshua Castellanos, a shy cosplayer, hardcore rabbit tender, and a fly kisser.
And I'm Juan Carlos Delgado, Frank Abigail's alias, a fire breather, and I pre-ordered Monster Hunter Rise today. Get it out now.
And I'm Kayla Lozada, a cheerful flight attendant, professional roller skater, and shark diver.
And today we have the CEO of Daddario, John Daddario III, and fellow Daddario member, Ray Irizarry. Welcome to the Classroom to Career Podcast.
Thanks, guys.
Pleasure to be here.
So what we usually do with the people we interview is we like them to get comfortable and be able to have a nice conversation about what they enjoy when they were younger. So to start off with our personal questions, we'd like to ask, what music were you guys into when you were younger? Did you guys listen to Stevie Wonder jazz, AC/DC rock, Michael Jackson pop? What did you guys enjoy listening to?
Well, for me personally, I enjoyed all forms of rock. So I was always an avid YouTube fan. The Police. My first album I ever bought was Billy Joel's Glass Houses, fellow Long Islander. I also really respect and appreciate the music of Dave Matthews, and probably one of my favorites, especially today, most recently, didn't really grow up listening to him, but now and really enjoy his music, is Dave Grohl of the Foo Fighters. I absolutely love their music.
Foo Fighters are good.
Yeah, and if you ever get a chance to visit my office, I'm dating myself. I have literally some vinyl albums that I have displayed on my wall in my office, some of my favorite albums
from
the past.
Don't worry, I also got some vinyls with me.
Yeah, I do too, right over here.
I would love to get vinyls.
I have a like yellow-tinted version of Greta Van Fleet's Anthem. And
yeah, it's awesome.
It really is, and I can't wait for battle, bro.
Yeah, I got some albums back here. I just bought because I want to put them add them to my collection for my office. These are some of the best Foo Fighters albums that I got my hands on, and I'm gonna frame these and put these in my office and add to my collection.
Yeah. For those who can't see, John Daddario III has showed us three Foo Fighter vinyls, and they actually look really cool. Juan is showing off two vinyls, one from Greta Van Fleet and another from a band called Mindless Self-Indulgence.
Yeah, and Greta Van Fleet's, and I actually love their music too, and they sound so much like Led Zeppelin.
They are, bro. People complain that they're a clone. That's the best part.
Awesome. So anyway, that's from my perspective. That's some of my favorite music growing up.
Let's hear from Ray. What did you listen to growing
up? Oh wow, you're bringing back so many memories. I'm about 10 years older than John, so I go back to Fleetwood Mac, Chicago, Carlos Santana, and of course Diana Ross and Luther Vandross. People like that. Anything from rock, soft rock to just rhythm and blues.
Mm-hmm. I respect that. I like it. So next question.
So what do you like to do in your free time? You know, maybe you have a guitar with your strings that you like to play. You know, anything?
Yeah, you know, growing up, I actually my first instrument was playing classical piano. Took lessons for many years. And now these days, I don't get the chance to play too much of the piano, but I do have a guitar that I dabble in. I have them right here next to me at my desk. My acoustic Takamine. Yeah, and it's got, of course, our strings on it. Mm. So I enjoy just playing, tunes that I know on that. And during my free time, I'm also very active. I like to stay active exercise-wise. I play a lot of sports. In fact, growing up, I played a ton of sports. In fact, so much so that it got in the way of my piano lessons, which my mom was very happy about. But the combination of music and sports is really my passion, and I like to use my free time doing both.
That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Mr. Ray?
Well, yeah, I'm a very poor guitarist. I know all the chords. That's about it.
Same. And I've tried to play the drums and enough to bother my wife. So that's about it.
Nice.
So, what are your guys' favorite instruments? Is it by any chance oh my God, I was practicing this before. The balalaika, which is actually a Russian string instrument. So yeah, what is your guys' favorite instrument?
Huh. Well, you know, we make strings for a lot of exotic instruments all over the world. And you know, I really don't have an appetite for some of them myself. but I will say, you know, what I would say is an instrument that I highly respect and enjoy is the ukulele. And I'll tell you, if you ever get a chance, YouTube Jake Shimakura, who is an endorsee of ours, the very best ukulele player in the world, hands down. And periodically, he comes to Long Island to perform, and he actually visited our factory, I think 2 or 3 years ago.
It's amazing.
Wonderful guy. And he's been very, very loyal to our family and our company for many years. But ukulele, I mean, it's an instrument that doesn't get the respect that it deserves, I would say.
Yeah. Ukuleles are very great. I remember back in my middle school days, I would just play it all the time.
And there was a point in time where you could have, like, near in our local library, couldn't you, like, rent out a ukulele?
I think you still can. The Brown Public Library, I think you could still be able to rent out a ukulele. So, yeah, definitely try it out.
It's a great instrument to learn on. In fact, I would really encourage more school districts to use the ukulele as kind of an entry, you know, into learning music. I don't think, again, it gets the attention it deserves.
Yeah, honestly, I would have enjoyed it more than a recorder.
Yeah, seriously.
I love the guitar music. That's why I'm such a Carlos Santana fan. You know, now that I think about it, even Jimi Hendrix, I thought he was like phenomenal. So that's basically, you know, from another perspective, I love timbales from Latin music. You know, that's I remember the old Tito Puente. He's deceased now, but he was like amazing. I remember him when I was your age.
I can't wait to look all of these dudes up.
Yeah.
You better know who Jimi Hendrix is, Juan.
Yes, I do. My cousin Jorge has told me all about him, bro. Woodstock is a religion for him. For any music listeners out there, do you recommend any cool albums or a song?
Oh. Any cool albums or a song? You know, I always, when I listen to music, it reminds me of times in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, like a lot of, like the YouTube album, I forget the exact name of it. It was back in the early 90s. But I guess the point is that it brings back memories, great memories. Like, and that's when my children were essentially infants. My oldest was, I think, 4. My second child was 2. And then my son had just been born. And listening to, I think it was All That's Left Behind, I think is the name of the album, the U2 album. It just reminds me of those times of packing them in the car for a trip and, you know, and going places with them, the park and so forth. And I always had that CD in my car. So it brings back fond memories of my children. And now that my children are actually teenagers, if not older than that. But again, I like to think about that particular album because it reminds me of such a wonderful time when they were children.
That's so touching.
You know, I can't think of a particular album, but my daughter has gotten me to listen to a new artist by the name of Billie Eilish. And I know she's won a lot of awards.
Yeah.
You know, I can't even pronounce her name, but I think her music is so unique, you know, and, you know, I can't believe I like it. I do.
So now that we got a little insight into your personal life, we'd like to know a little bit more about your guys' business and career. So, Kayla, would you like to start off with our first professional question?
Yeah, so, with those, I'm going to let John. I think John would be the most instrumental person, you know, to bother us to steal a
no
word.
Problem.
So I'll let him answer those questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what was the motivation behind making the company D'Addario and specifically being your main focus on products, guitar strings?
Okay, that's a long story. But so our family history goes we were actually able to do some research and trace our family history in string making back to the 1680s.
Wait, I'm so sorry, but like, I'm glad we're talking about this because I don't trust the Wikipedia page on your company.
Yeah, I know it's that could be dicey sometimes. You're right, but yeah, we worked with a researcher, and the way we were able to trace our family roots back to string making was very interesting. The researchers that we hired, she actually visited the churches of the town we were from, called Sale, Italy. Okay, and in the churches is where they kept birth certificates, and the birth certificates, it was a tradition for it to include, of course, the mother and father's name, but also the father's occupation. So the occupation for my family, which we were able to trace back, were sheep herders, but also what's called corderos, which are string makers. So they would herd sheep, and they would use the sheep gut to make gut strings for various instruments, right? The history could go back even further than that for all we know, but that's as far back as we were able to go is the late 1600s. Now, the trade of making strings passed on from generation to generation. And then in 1905, there was a massive earthquake in the town of Sale. Okay. And what ended up happening is the entire village needed to be rebuilt. So my great grandfather, Charles Daddario, he emigrated to the United States in an effort to make money to send back home to help the family rebuild their house, essentially. And what he did is he imported the strings that our family made in Italy into New York, and then he would travel around the East Coast and sell those strings to professional musicians and, you know, teachers and so forth, and developed great relationships and was able to send that money back home. He decided to stay, and he continued to import strings for many years until World War I made it almost impossible for him to import the strings from our family. So it forced him to make the strings himself. So he actually built his own machinery, and he actually did it in his basement in Astoria, Queens. And he was making strings and gradually built up production. He got to the point where he was pretty self-sufficient. At the same time, he was raising a family. He had four daughters and one son, okay? And they all worked in the string factory. They all were hand-making strings. The best, the most talented string makers of the family were his four daughters. And then his son, who is my grandfather, John Sr., the first John, because it was a big European tradition to anoint the next generation male as the leader, he was anointed the leader of the future business. He continued to partner with my great-grandfather in making strings for a number of years. Now, what was really interesting is the emergence of the guitar as a popular instrument really changed the business, in the sense that my grandfather, John Sr., he saw the growth opportunities with the guitar more so than my great-grandfather, who wanted to stay very traditional in making violin, viola, and cello strings. So they actually split off. And my grandfather, John Sr., started his own business with some partners. And they focused exclusively on guitar string manufacturing because the guitar was emerging, growing very, very rapidly in popularity. Now, when the Beatles came to the United States in the 60s, that's when the guitar went to a whole other level of popularity, right? And it got to a point where there was a shortage of string manufacturing. And because of that shortage, what ended up happening is bigger companies like Fender, for example, they actually acquired a string maker called VC Squire in the Midwest, which at the time was the biggest guitar string manufacturer in the world. And what happened with that acquisition is that string maker was making strings for many, many different brands. But when Fender bought it, they dedicated all the capacity to Fender. So now suddenly all these other brands had nowhere to go to get strings, right? Now, my grandfather, he had this company called Darko. Combination of Darko and another company merged into a company called Darko. He actually thought the best thing for the family was at that time was to sell the business, and he sold the business to the Martin family, CF Martin, which is the most popular acoustic guitar in the world, right?
Yeah.
So he soon after he sold the business to them, he knew he made a big mistake, And at the time, he of course continued to run the company under the new ownership. And my father, John Jr., and his brother, Jim D'Addario, were also employees. They decided to leave and start their own string company in 1973, 1974. And again, the reason why they did that is because there was so much demand for strings and not enough of supply. So they saw a big opportunity. So they started what was called J. D'Addario and Company. So Jim and John, J. D'Addario and Company. And they focused exclusively on fretted instrument strings, right? And so they built the business gradually over the years. And if you go back and you recall, in the early 80s, it was another big surge in popularity of guitar because of MTV Unplugged, right? So if you YouTube some of those clips, it's some fascinating performances, right? Mm-hmm. So that really catapulted demand for strings again. But there got to a point where when synthesizers were getting more popular, where the guitar business started to slow down. And so Jim, my uncle, and my father, John Jr., as partners, they decided to diversify into other accessories so they could continue to grow the business. So the first diversity strategy was to actually become a distributor of woodwind reeds, a company called Van Doren, Van Doren Reeds. And then over the course of time, there were small acquisitions and some larger acquisitions that diversified the overall portfolio of accessories. So we went from being, you know, exclusively guitar strings to now a wide variety of accessories, including woodwind reeds and mouthpieces, drumsticks, drum heads, snare wire. And in terms of guitar accessories, we now have tuners, capos, straps, instrument cables, picks. So it's a very, very, very wide variety of accessories now that we go to market. But I will say, though, that to this day, though, the biggest part of the business remains guitar strings. And I'm proud to say that we're the world's largest manufacturer of guitar strings.
Yeah. Congratulations.
We actually make now a little over 800,000 strings per day, believe it or not.
Wow.
So it's an incredible operation, and I welcome you to come and visit. I'd be happy to give you a tour.
Yeah, I would love to.
Yeah. So we're probably responsible for about half of the strings made in the entire world with the manufacturing that we do, because we make, of course, our own brand. But in addition to that, we make strings for some other brands, which is called private label. And then we also make strings on an OEM basis, which is called original equipment manufacturing, which means that we supply strings in bulk to guitar manufacturers all over the world. So the combination of the OEM, the private label, and our branded, D'Addario branded strings makes up the overall guitar string business. So I know that's a long, long story.
Oh, no, that was
very
great.
Interesting.
No,
it's fine.
Well,
it's
very
fine.
The story,
people
need
to now rework the CEO and man himself.
Yeah.
Really interesting. I mentioned the Beatles coming to the U.S. Mm-hmm. in the 60s. That catapulted the popular guitar. Yep. MTV Unplugged. Certainly some other artists helped to, you know, continue the demand for guitar. But what's been extraordinary about the global pandemic is that when people were sheltering in place, believe it or not, a lot of new players were developed as in terms of interest in guitar, and then players that used to play are now playing again. And we're seeing explosive growth now in the guitar string business again. So it's like another point in history where you see another surge in demand. And we're actually working very hard to try to keep up with that demand right now. Yeah.
Not even gonna lie, one of those new players is me.
Yeah, same here. Oh my God. When I heard my friend Amber, she was I really don't want this. Do you want? I'm just like, yeah. And then I had to buy strings, and like it was empty. I was like, oh yeah, let's go.
There's such an influx of demand that some of the bigger guitar makers in the world, they are backlogged for months. They can't keep up. And what's ended up happening because of that, a lot of players are buying used instruments too online. So it's a combination of buying used instruments and new instruments. Is just demand for strings as a result has been incredible, which has been nice.
It's a crazy pattern, and honestly, I really love you just like taking the really long stretch to explain your like family history. Honestly, if it was like 5 minutes longer, I would have still listened, because you know it's great. It's great to see from many years ago and how you're still, you know, keeping the legacy of it, still keeping the power of it. Like, I just love how far you can keep something going.
Yeah. And I think that we're so fortunate as a family to have such a long history and legacy. And one of the projects I'm working on, I gave you, you know, a very broad, I know it sounded long, but it was a pretty broad summary. I'm working on a more detailed timeline of some of the historical things that have happened to the family and the business right now, as a matter of fact. My vision is to have perhaps a room in our office that's dedicated to showcasing, you know, that history.
Yes.
That's
cool. That'd be perfect. I'd love to take a bunch of pictures of it. Like, you could, you could probably get, like, a replica of, like, the little animal strings. That would be cool.
You want to hear an amazing story? So I remember I mentioned my grandfather, Charles D'Addario. He was making strings in his basement in Astoria, right? Mm-hmm. About 15 years ago, actually a little less, maybe 12 years ago, my father got a phone call from a gentleman that was a guitar player, and he had a home in Astoria, right? So he called my dad because he had a premonition that he found something in the basement that he had a premonition that that might be a piece of equipment to make strings. So he called my dad, and he went and visited, and sure enough, it was one of the machines that my grandfather had built. Wow. That was still in that basement.
Yo.
Now, if you come to our headquarters, I'm not sure if we still have it there right now, but we'll probably actually it's in a museum right now, but we're going to get it back probably in a few years. But we used to have that machine in our foyer of our office. So the first thing you saw when you came in was the old machine, my great grandfather's machine. But can you imagine the coincidence that and the fact that he was a guitar player and he had a premonition that may have something to do with string making?
If that was anyone else, they would have just thrown away.
To contact us. Yeah. Isn't that incredible?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Big love and big shouts out to Grandfather D'Addario, man. Company would never be alive without him.
Right.
But for the next question, we'd like to ask, did you ever go to college? And if so, could you speak to us about the experience?
Sure. I went to the University of Richmond, which is in Virginia. Mm. When I was looking at schools, most of the schools I was looking at were mostly in the Northeast. And Richmond was pretty far away from what I was thinking. But it ended up being the best decision I ever made for many, many reasons. It just so happens that Richmond has a phenomenal business school. So I was able to really, really hone my business skills there. I actually double majored in marketing as well as business management. Another reason why I feel it was the best decision I made in terms of going to school was I met my wife there. And to this day, we're still married, of course. So we both were Richmond graduates. And I met some wonderful people over the years, and also gave me the opportunity to continue to enjoy music and also play sports. So it was a great experience, very challenging academically. I'm proud to say it's a great university. It's one of the top universities now in terms of its size. It's a relatively small university. Mm-hmm. I'm proud to say that I'm a Richmond Spider. In fact, I don't know if you could see behind me, there's a banner.
Yeah. I was going to ask about that.
Yeah, that banner looks cool.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, that was my college experience.
So Juan, lead us on with the next question.
All right. How do you feel about your company helping through the pandemic?
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know if you had seen in the news, when we had to shut down our factories because of COVID, you know, our employees wanted to do anything they could to help with the shortage of PPE materials. And so our team put their heads together and thought, hey, we make acoustic drum heads and the clear film we could probably use to make face shields. So they quickly were able to design actual face shields. I don't have one handy with me right now, but to this day, we've made well over a million face shields, and we were a major supplier for a period of time in helping out with this PPE shortage. Of course, that's helping with the general public, and we still are, for that matter. As far as musicians, though, I mean, it's just been terrible, you know, for musicians, traveling musicians, and recording musicians. I mean, we really haven't been able to do much to help them because they haven't been able to perform in a live, you know, live venue. Mm-hmm. But we're definitely prepared to help them when they're ready to perform, and you know, we're putting together different programs where we can support them. We're preparing to provide a lot of product to them. Our artists, we typically engage in a relationship where we provide free product in exchange for their loyal support, right? And they're lots of times very socially active in promoting our brands and also helping us develop new products, which is really nice. But we're preparing to, you know, to for this what we believe is going to be an explosion in live music that's going to happen, and you know we're going to do everything we can to help musicians along that journey, and we're super excited about that.
Can't wait! Can't wait! Sounds very, you know, very intense. It's going to be fun.
Yep.
If not the Dario, you know, if you weren't the CEO, what company do you think you would have pursued or even invented?
Boy, that's a tough question. Well, look, I love the industry I'm in. It is when you this is an industry where even with competitors, they're friendly competitors. Most of the businesses are family businesses, so you understand the family dynamics of a business and you share that. I have great relationship with a lot of our competitors. Of course, great relationship with a lot of our customers. So if I could have been in this industry in some way, shape, or form, that would have been wonderful. Now, if it wasn't for this industry, then I probably would have pursued something perhaps in the sporting industry, whether it be actual product itself, equipment and so forth. Or actually, I enjoy writing, and I may have been a sports journalist for all I know, you know. Mm-hmm. That's something that, or even a sports announcer. So if it wasn't for the music industry, I probably would have been in the sports industry in some way, shape, or form, I would say.
The listeners can't be able to see you right now, Mr. Daddario, but I'm not even going to lie. I feel like you would be a perfect sports announcer. You got the headset. I can even imagine a Daddario jersey. That would be great.
Yeah. Oh my god, that would be so cool.
I can see it all.
Well, at least I can fall back on something then, huh? Yeah.
So for our next question, we'd like to ask you, how does it feel to watch your company grow? You know, being handed the company.
Well, probably in one word, I would say I'm very proud. When I started working as a teenager in the business, it was probably in terms of the company size, I mean, extremely small. It was about maybe $10 million in sales annually. Today, it's close to $200 million. So think about that. So the changes that have happened have been extraordinary. Of course, we've grown the business organically, meaning that you know the existing products you have, you're able to grow and gain market share. We've also grown the business through acquisition, and in both cases, they come with different challenges. You know, with acquisitions, you have to integrate a new business into your culture, a whole other culture, and try to integrate it in yours. That's probably one of the more challenging things that we've have to do when we entertain an acquisition. And then on the organic growth side, you know, we have a lot of tough competitors in our industry. So you really have to work hard and make smart decisions and create great products to be able to compete and gain market share on them. So going back to the question, I mean, I'm extremely proud that I've actually played a role, you know, in this. And I hope to continue to for many, many more years. Definitely. But just to think about how small we were, and we were probably at the time, maybe we had 70 employees, and now we have 1,100, Ray, at this point globally. Mm-hmm. And we're a very global company now. In the past, it was more U.S. centric. I mean, literally 50% of our sales are international. And now we have our own international distribution companies in the UK, parts of Europe. We have a company in China and Australia and Canada. And we're looking to expand our distribution even more so. So It's I have to say, I'm very proud, like I said, to see how the business has grown so much over the years.
Definitely a powerful achievement.
Mm-hmm. Nice job. For any of our older listeners, or from the people that actually heard this from the two first episodes, we have a new member, Kayla Lozada, and mm-hmm. we also have a new special segment for her, and it's called Kayla's Corner, where we get
Kayla's Corner
from Kayla and other people around.
Yes, so our first question is, guitar strings are your most recognized products, but what other products, you know, do you personally take interest in? Like, you know, I have my Daddario apparel on today, so any other products that you personally really are interested in?
Well, Well, you know, as I kind of mentioned, we, in addition to strings, we're making, you know, reeds and mouthpieces for woodwind instruments and percussion accessories like drum heads and drumsticks and of course, a wide variety of guitar accessories. What we are researching now is how we can be a player in the digital electronic space. So we're working on some new technologies, for instance, in percussion that essentially marry traditional acoustic drum kits with electronic capabilities in a kind of a hybrid format. In fact, we're going to be launching a product segment around that hybrid technology later this year. So if you look at our portfolio of brands today, they're mostly finished goods that are very, you know, traditional in nature. And now we're looking at more modern opportunities in terms of getting more electronic and digital. So that's of interest to us. We certainly are looking at some other things. You know, we've developed a loyalty program. If you go on our website, you'll see it's called the Player Circle. And how you get to be a part of the Player Circle is you actually set up a profile. And what we're trying to do is create really great experiences within the Player Circle. So one experience is that you literally, for every product that you buy with our D'Addario name on it, it has a unique serial number. And you could register that serial number for loyalty points that you could redeem for other products or T-shirts or hats in the future, maybe even tickets to concerts, for all I know.
Ooh, yo. Yeah.
And we're also giving the consumers the opportunity, if they want to, they could donate the point values to our foundation, which supports music programs all over the world. So as part of that Player Circle, we're trying to create more experiences and products that are exclusive to our loyal members. So again, you know, like I mentioned, you know, T-shirts and hats and so forth. But we're also trying to provide them with unique opportunities, like having the ability to customize your own artwork on drum heads, your own artwork on picks, for instance. Eventually, maybe guitar straps.
Yeah,
we're looking for some other things. So literally, you can design them, and we'll make them in a custom format. And send them to you directly. That so yeah, these are all exciting new areas that we're looking at, you know, in addition to our current portfolio of products.
I like that. I like the custom thing.
Yeah.
I would definitely like to contribute to that.
Yes. So how does it feel to keep the D'Addario name in the company? You know, you're continuing the legacy that your father and your uncle left.
Yeah, you know, I often reflect on our company, and one of our values is passion, right? And so we have people in our organization that are passionate about music, or they're passionate about product development. And I'm passionate about those things, but probably what I have the most passion for is our family name. I just have such a heart for that, and everything I do day in and day out, I know I'm doing to further our family name in a good way, right? And like I say, I've told Ray this many times, when I walk in the door, you know, of our office, you know, I'm in the spotlight. And, you know, I have to really carry our family name as our whole organization is. But I really feel so proud of that name, and I'll do everything I can to protect its image, you know, in everything I do. So that's probably the most, I mean, I'm passionate about a lot of things, but probably most passionate about, you know, the family name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so talking about the family name and knowing the history that your family has in string making, of course, that played a really big part in naming the company, you know, D'Addario, your family last name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and now we're applying that name to all of our products, essentially. So going back to what I mentioned before, you know, growing the company both organically and through acquisition, when we acquire, you know, a new company, the first thing that we do before we put the D'Addario name on it is we perfect the quality. So we have basically a game plan. When we acquire a company, the first thing that we do is we dive into the factory, study every process, in some cases re-engineer the machinery and the processes, and get the quality to a point where it's to a D'Addario standard. And then once it is, then we put the name on it. And so again, you know, I would never put the D'Addario name on a product that doesn't meet the high level expectation that we have for quality.
You know, family's a very big you know, aspect, especially in your family.
Absolutely.
So I did some research. You know, I was looking through the website, and I saw that you guys have a Beatles line. So before I get into that question, I know Juan really wanted to ask you this question, so I'm going to talk to him for a bit.
Do you have a favorite Beatles song?
Oh boy, I really don't have one in particular. And you know, what's interesting is one of the reasons why this company exists today is because of my uncle's passion for the Beatles. Right? Jim, my uncle, was the previous CEO of the company, and he still is actively working in the business. But what he's doing now is what his passion is. Of course, is developing products. So he's constantly working on developing. He's like a mad scientist in the lab, you know, creating new products, right? But it was really his passion for the Beatles that really furthered the family's legacy in the string business. Because what he did is, my grandfather was not a guitar player; he was a bass player. So what he would do a lot of experiments in developing new alloys and new strings, but he would commonly give them to Jim, my uncle, to play test them, right? So in many ways, the combination of my grandfather and Jim, they became really the inventors of some of the standards that string makers use today. So it's, you know, going back to the Beatles, is what really got Jim, my uncle, into guitar playing, and he continues to be a passion of his in running the company. You got to see the collection of Beatles stuff he has. Again, when you come visit the office, I'll show you his office. Which is Beatlemania.
Yo,
this is going to be fun.
But it's amazing the impact the Beatles, one band, had on our industry. It's extraordinary, you know, what it's done for our, not just the guitar industry, just music industry in general. So going back to your question, I don't really have one favorite song, but they are clearly, they're like a once in every 100 years phenomenon, you know?
I'll make this harder for you. What's your favorite Beatle?
Ooh. Oh gosh!
Oh yeah, this is a better one.
I would say McCartney. He's just iconic. I mean, I'm torn between Lennon and McCartney, but I would say McCartney.
Yeah.
So you know, with the Beatles in mind, I noticed that you guys have your own signature line. You know, I've seen some guitar straps. You know, Jim, your uncle has, you know, a big love for the Beatles. So what was the inspiration behind that line?
Sure. So lots of times happens with like states like the Beatles estate is that they license their brand to other companies or industries. So we had an opportunity to sign a licensing agreement with the Beatles estate, and we're able to go to market with, you know, Beatles straps and picks and some other things. We've pursued some other licensing opportunities, but I got to tell you, they're not easy, these licensing arrangements. We like to have an opportunity to kind of go to market, not just for a limited period of time, but for a long period of time. And lots of times these licensing deals are structured so that they're very short term, and it's not a scenario that we prefer. We prefer having control and being, you know, involved in something longer term. So they're attractive opportunities, but they also could be challenges as well. So, you know, we kind of really are very selective in the ones that we pursue.
Mm-hmm. Hey, this next question is from one of our research students. His name is Johnny Walnuts. So if you're watching, hey, John.
Much love to him. Much love to Johnny.
Yes, you're epic. Much love.
So he asks, would you do a collaboration with other companies or people in the future?
Yeah, sure. I mean, just to kind of give you an example, you know, when we look for different collaboration or partnership opportunities, typically we have a criteria. And what I mean by that is we like to partner with companies that kind of share our vision and our mission, right? So for example, our objective is to inspire musical performance and along the way be socially responsible, right? So we have a number of sustainability initiatives as an example, and we partnered with a company called TerraCycle, and what they do is they specialize in recycling very complex, difficult products, right? So guitar strings, for example, they're not easy to recycle because there's so many different alloys involved. So you can't necessarily, you have to kind of sort them, and it gets very expensive to sort the different materials. So we actually partnered with them because they specialized in these complex recycling programs. And the reason why we did is because of their sustainability commitment, right? And they share a lot of the same values that we do as an organization. So again, you know, that's just one example. There's others, but we try to find partners that share, you know, what we believe in. So we have a common interest.
What are the core values of Dodario, and what is your message? What do you want people, when they check out your company, to like walk away with?
Probably at the top of the list, I would say, is curiosity. You know, when we actually look to hire new employees, we're always looking for employees that have innate, you know, curiosity for how something can be better, whether it's a product or a process. So that would be at the top of the list, curiosity. Passion is another value, you know, candor, you know, being very, very transparent with each other, not only internally, but with our customers and our suppliers. Another value that we embrace at Dodario is a family culture. You know, we look at our employee base as an extension of the Dodario family. The last value, from what I recall, Ray, correct me if I'm wrong, is responsibility. And that means not only being responsible as, let's say, the Dodario family members as stewards of the business, but also be environmentally and socially responsible externally. So those values, what we try to do is not only find people that actually resemble those values and then live those values, but we also actually, when we grade our employees, we grade them on how they do, you know, in terms of each of those categories. excuse me. So that those are our values. And it's interesting because as a family, you know, grows and has different generations, if you think about it, they grow up in different households and they may not always share the same values. So, you know, basically highlighting these specific core values really, I guess you would say, really galvanizes and aligns the family and the Dodario family employees around, you know, these core values that are essential to our culture. So they're very, very important for our organization in many ways.
And starting to end it off, we'd like to ask you one more question. What piece of advice would you give the young viewers listening to this? Like, whether it comes to career, whether it comes to their passion, whether it comes to life, what piece of advice would you give them?
Well, you know, what's really interesting is that as musicians yourself, most musicians don't look at music industry as being a career path for them. They look at it just from the performance standpoint being a career path, right? But not a business career path, which I find fascinating, but it's true. Most of the times it's just not thought of. And so if I had some advice, I would say find opportunities where you can marry your passion, you know, with an exciting business. And certainly, as Ray can attest, I mean, the majority of our employees are musicians, essentially. So they've been able to get, you know, have the dream of following, you know, of you know, embracing their passion, both from a performance standpoint and then a business standpoint. And so I would encourage you to find opportunities where you can marry your passion to a robust, you know, exciting business environment.
I remember from The Art of the Deal, I read that book. And in the in the book, he explained that his father used Donald Trump explained that his father used to do like project housing. You know, he used to build those.
Yeah.
But to him, it was like so utterly boring and just unexciting. So he wanted to do casinos, and that's why he started out with that.
Yep, that's right. Yeah. So yeah, marry your passion with you know, opportunity, like, you know, like our industry can.
Since we're going to the ending now, do you have any last words?
Gosh, we covered a lot of ground here, didn't we, today?
Yes, we did. Yeah. Definitely did.
I mean, I would just say that, you know, live your life without regrets. Don't, you know, the worst thing is to have regrets. And I have a few in my life, you know, like, for instance, one being I didn't continue to study, you know, classical piano. I wish I did. And my mom told me, you are going to regret this the rest of your life. And she was right. She was 100% right. You know, don't have any regrets and listen to your parents. Trust me.
What about you, Ray? We want to hear some last words from you because we haven't heard anything in a while.
You know, I have to say that, number one, like John said, listen to your parents. They're very wise. They probably know how to steer you in the right direction. But yeah, marry your passion. We have a lot of employees, as John said, are amazing musicians. You have to, like, imagine some of our year-end parties when they just perform. It's just, like incredible. If you can find something that you really enjoy doing, work doesn't become work. Work becomes part of the quality of your life, and it becomes something that much better. So, yeah. You know, follow your dreams and do everything you can to find them.
Yeah. So, well said.
Well, thank you guys so much. Thank you, Mr. John Daddario III, and thank you, Mr. Ray Irizarry. We hope you guys enjoyed being in our podcast, and we hope the listeners enjoyed listening as well. Yeah, thank you so much for coming on and being in the Clash Into Career podcast. And remember, anything that you want to do, you can do with strong will, work, and you can satisfy yourself and no one else. See you guys in the next episode. Once again, thank you, John. Thank you, Ray, for coming on. Thank you guys so much.
Amazing question.
My pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the Clash Into Career podcast. We hope you enjoyed, and big thanks to the Clash Into Career program for assisting in the creation of this podcast. If you would like to hear more episodes, check us out on Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and anywhere else involving podcasts. We hope you have a nice day, and much love from Long Island.